Welcome to the Karen Conti Show on 720 WGN.
Good evening, everyone. Are your presents wrapped? Are they bought? Is your cooking prepped? Are you done traveling? Are your kids home? Ready to celebrate the holidays? Well, I hope you have 2 hours now to sit down and relax while you're chopping onions and listen to a little Karen Conti Show. And I just wanted to say, if I don't get to say this by the end of the show, it's been a wonderful privilege to be on WGN, the greatest radio station in the city and one of the greatest in the country. And it's been my privilege to talk in your ear and take your calls and help some of the listeners who have called in with legal issues. And I've hoped that I've made your year a little bit happier and a little bit more knowledgeable, let's just say. But thank you for listening. We have a really good show tonight. At the 7:30 time period, we are going to be talking to one of the Karen Conti Show regulars, Susan Rowland, who is a psychic medium. And whether you believe in this stuff or not, it's a very interesting topic of conversation. We're going to be talking about the predictions for 2020. We're talking about politics, not really politics, but what might happen, different world events, different personalities, what's going to happen health-wise to people in the new year, what are some things to be careful of and to be wary of. Susan Rowland is the best. And then we're going to be taking calls from people who might want to connect with a loved one who is no longer with us, or who might want some advice and guidance about business or careers or anything else in their love life as well. So stay tuned at 7:30 for Susan Rowland. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock, we'll be taking your legal questions. I'm a practicing lawyer. And any questions you have about anything that you have in your life that might be of concern for you, whether that's divorce or contract law or consumer issues, bankruptcy, estate, wills and planning, all of that stuff, you can give me a call here. Or if you've seen something in the news in the last, maybe during the impeachment hearings, we're not going to get political. No politics here tonight. It's a politic-free zone. But if you need some things explained, I will try to do my best to try to make some sense out of what is going on, legally speaking. But right now, the story that I think is one of the nicest stories that I've ever had the privilege of covering. In this time of giving, where everyone's giving and we're talking about giving, this is a story that tops them all when it comes to just plain generosity. I heard this story, and I'm going to try not to break into tears talking about it. 31-year-old Navy veteran Rachel Schultz from Harvard, Illinois, was diagnosed with kidney disease, and she had stage 5 kidney disease. She took matters into her own hands, and she created a massive campaign to get a kidney. Flash ahead, there's 27-year-old Nicole Gabarick, a Lakemore police officer, who was on her night shift, and she just so happened to see a post on Facebook about this donation of a kidney, and she decided out of the clear blue that she was going to donate a kidney to Rachel. The operation happened, it was a success, and now we have two women who are bonded by this wonderful story of organ donation. I'm going to welcome both Rachel and Nicole to the show. Hello, everyone. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. Do I have Rachel?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, is Nicole there? Okay, I lost her. But I'm going to talk to Rachel for a minute. Rachel, tell our listeners a little bit about your condition and why you needed a kidney so badly.
Well, as you said, being a 31-year-old, usually you don't really expect to get that kind of diagnosis, you know. I was actually 28 when I was diagnosed initially, and at that time it was stage 3. And at that point in time, I was told within 3 to 5 years, I would need a kidney transplant. And at that point, it was kind of surreal. You know, you get that kind of news and it's like, wow, what am I supposed to do? I'd never heard of kidney disease. No one in my family had it, anything like that. So being the kind of person that I am, took it into my own hands to learn as much as I could about the type of disease that I had, which is, the technical term is IgA nephropathy, but it's commonly called Berger's disease. And it's essentially where your body attacks itself. It's an autoimmune disease, and it specifically attacks your kidneys. So fast forward a few years. So last year around, I think it was the 4th of July, was when I actually started on dialysis. I'd progressed far enough to where both of my kidneys were functioning less than 10%, and I was to the point where I had to go to a dialysis center three times a week.
And Rachel, you were talking a little bit about how difficult it was for you. We only have a few seconds before I have to go to a break, but just tell our listeners really quickly, how many hours a day were you in this dialysis?
Well, initially, when I was doing it in-center, it was about 4 to 4.5 hours. I then progressed to actually doing it at home, but that was 4 days a week, and that was about 3 hours when I did it at home.
Okay, let me take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Nicole, who was the donor for the kidney transplant. This is the Karen Conti Show on WGN. Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show. We're here with the story of generosity. Rachel Schultz needed a kidney, and Nicole Gaborik was generous enough to see her plea on Facebook and responded. I'm back. Welcome to the show again, Rachel and Nicole.
Hi.
Hi, ladies. Okay, so Rachel needs a kidney, and Nicole, you're a police officer. How old are you?
I'm 27.
And tell me, I want to hear the moment when you're scrolling through Facebook I take it you're at work and maybe taking a break. And tell me how you see this post and what you thought.
I was actually working a side job at the time, which was basically just sitting in the car doing overnight security. So a lot of downtime and scrolling through Facebook. And since I moved up to the Lakemore area, I have some friends now that live in the Harvard area, and I don't know who posted it, but somehow it came across my Facebook page. Obviously an intriguing title, could you be the one to save my life or donate a kidney? And I knew right away that I was the same blood type. So I just filled out, the basic questionnaire, and it got rolling from there.
Okay. And so did you tell anybody that you were going to do this before you actually contacted Rachel?
I didn't, meet Rachel or get in contact with her until after the donation, actually. But I didn't really even tell anyone that I was considering this until a lot of the blood work and the DNA test had kind of come back as a positive, because I know a lot of people get knocked out, and I just didn't want to start telling people until it was a sure thing.
Now, so you did this, and you come back, and you're a perfect match. You're in very good physical shape, and you're a match for Rachel. And just honestly, when you started telling your parents and telling your friends, did some people try to talk you out of it, saying, you don't even know this woman. Why would you do something like this?
Yeah, I'd say some people in my life were definitely more apprehensive than others. Like, everyone sees it as a good thing at the end of the day, but my family and my loved ones, I guess, care about me above people they don't know, which is natural. That's not a judgment. When I told my mom, she kind of gasped, and she was like, you what? And I was like, well, I'm just in the process. I don't know yet. We're still, going on the blood work, and I explained it for a couple minutes. And then my dad walked over, and 2 minutes later, she's going, Nicole's going to donate a kidney.
So Rachel, you find out that you have a donor who's matching perfectly. And what are you thinking about this woman? I mean, what's going through your head besides, I'm finally going to get a kidney, and I'm excited about it? What are you thinking? When are you thinking of Nicole, a woman you've never met?
Well, initially, I actually didn't know anything about my donor until afterwards, after the surgery. So I didn't know if it was a male, a female, where they were from, anything. So with getting the news that, hey, we found a kidney, someone's going to donate, we're planning to do it on this date, it was still really surreal for me, because I've heard a lot of stories from a lot of the kidney conferences I go to, that a lot of people get a donor lined up and then something happens. Either somebody gets sick, a life event happens, and the donor backs out. So for me, I kind of waited until pretty much the day of to really get excited and amped up about, hey, I'm actually getting a kidney, because I didn't want to get super excited and then something happened for whatever reason and then just get let down, like, okay, well, no, I'm gonna still have to be on dialysis and all that yucky stuff.
So, a lot of people don't ask these questions, but I guess I'm just a little interested in it from a medical standpoint. I'd like to ask both the donor and the donee what the operation was like and how much pain you had and how much downtime you had. So let's start with Nicole. Tell me exactly what you had to do, like how long were you in the hospital and what kind of the pain level and recovery time?
So I went into the hospital Wednesday morning, December 4th. they numb you up, they give you a number of drugs, and then you have the surgery, you come out, you're still kind of coming off of those things. But at no point did I have any pain. Oh. And I know that my nurses didn't believe me, no one believed me, but my throat kind of hurt from intubation, and like my stomach was upset from some of the drugs they were giving me. But the incisions, nothing. I've not had any ounce of discomfort or pain.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, I was back in the gym after 5 days actually doing cardio, and if I worked a normal desk job, I probably would have been back a week later.
That's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And I don't know if that's how everyone reacts to that surgery, but Rachel, tell our listeners what your surgery was like.
So for the pre-operation setup, it was pretty much everything the same as Nicole. Mine on the backside obviously was a little different. Hers, they were taking away a kidney. For mine, you know, I was receiving one. So the one thing that a lot of people don't know is kidney, or at least with the kidney disease I have, they don't take your own kidneys out. They leave them in, and you actually get a third kidney, and they put it in the front.
Oh, okay.
So you actually have three kidneys instead of just the two. So for me, it ended up, the first night was kind of rough just because everything is sore. They end up cutting into your abdominal wall, and they have to do a lot more with creating new connections to get everything to work right with the new kidney. But after that, I was also pretty much like Nicole. I was off the pain meds. I was just doing Tylenol. And the only reason I had to wait a few days to go home is because of certain medications they have to give you for anti-rejection. But I was home, or went in for surgery Wednesday, and I was home on Saturday.
And Nicole, you've donated the kidney now, and is there anything that you have to be careful of because you're operating with only one kidney, or are you pretty much good with one kidney?
I just have to be cautious of possibly developing a higher blood pressure, which just means watching my sodium intake. But I actually had a very low blood pressure going into this, so I might just come out normal.
I take it you're in good shape. That's what all the news accounts are saying.
I'm flattered by that, and I will take the compliment. I'm in perfect health, apparently.
So at some point, and if you just tuned in, we're talking about Rachel Schultz, who was in bad need of a kidney. She had stage 5 kidney disease, and Nicole, a complete stranger, donated her kidney to Rachel. And at some point after the operation, you got each other's names and all this, and you met. Tell us about the meeting. You want to tell us, Rachel?
Sure can. So, like I said, I didn't actually know who my donor was to begin with. I know with Nicole, she actually was able to see my post and actually see who I was. But I kind of was in the dark until the day of. So they actually had us meet the day after surgery. You know, we're both looking really good in our sexy hospital gown. And so she actually came up to my room and we got to meet for the first time. And when she walked in, I'm kind of telling myself, like, I don't really know what to say, but I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. And as soon as she walked in, I'm like, I started kind of like tears are running down my face. I'm like, I'm crying. I'm like, I was not supposed to do this. And it's just really kind of surreal to actually meet someone who, without exaggerating, you can say saved your life. And it's amazing. Just the feeling. And all you can really say is thank you. There's no real words to actually express besides that.
And Nicole, what's going through your head when you're meeting Rachel for the first time? It's got to be an overwhelming feeling that you've helped someone in exactly what you said, and basically saving her life.
Yeah, I mean, it continues to impact me every time Rachel says it. Like, obviously, I knew I was saving her life, but it still, I don't know, it still dawns on me, I guess, and that's a lot. But I panicked, like, the minute before I walk into her room to meet her, because I was like, wait, what do I say? I don't know what you say to someone that now has your kidney in them.
There's no Hallmark card written for this one, right?
No, there is not.
So I want you to quickly, this is a life-changing experience, and I know it's all very new to both of you, but what, you know, wisdom have you each gained from this? And Rachel, I heard you talk a little bit about, on another radio station, about what this message is, sends you as far as you taking charge of your life and getting this kidney. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Sure can. So for me, it kind of started even when I first was diagnosed with my kidney disease. And there were some diagnoses I didn't necessarily agree with. and a friend of mine, she actually had thyroid cancer. We both kind of came to the conclusion that you really need to be your own advocate. So if there's something you don't like, something you don't agree with, you need to voice your opinion. And if your doctor doesn't listen, go get a second opinion. And thankfully, all of my doctors that I worked with, especially at Rush, where we had the surgery performed, were amazing. They would answer any of your questions. If there was any issues, they would work through it with you and make sure that everything was, all the information was out there and you understood what was going on.
Well, but, and even in getting the kidney, you know, you organized your own campaign and went online and you went to ball games with a t-shirt on that says, I need a kidney. You know, you took a chance writing to a local radio station, which is how the connection ended up happening. I mean, you really took matters into your own hands, which I think is very good advice for much of life.
Well, exactly. And I actually got the idea of doing that from those conferences I went to. A lot of people, usually, it's not necessarily always the kidney donor because you are so exhausted. So I still do have a full-time job while doing dialysis, and I'm very lucky that I'm able to do that. Not a lot of kidney patients who are on dialysis are able to do that because you are so tired and exhausted all the time. So a lot of people who are in that situation have like a kidney champion is what they call it. Well, for me, I was like, you know what? I can take my weekends and I can do that. So, you know what? This weekend, I'm going to make flyers and we're going to have family members each get 10 and hand them out. And then the next weekend, I will mail some out to the local VFWs.
Nicole,
and then the next weekend, I'll make my shirts, like all sorts of stuff.
You got yourself organized and you got yourself a game plan. And Nicole, just we don't have a whole lot of time, but what has this, I mean, you're in the business of helping people and saving people. You're a police officer. You're out there on the street every day trying to help people. What is the message that you would like people to hear about this experience of you donating a kidney to save somebody's life?
Just to, you know, hear the message of how easy it was. And I had a very supportive workplace. Illinois legislation is making it really easy to do the donations and take the time off work. But I think people just would be astounded to know how quickly I turned around and was completely okay. But at the very least, I've been a whole blood or plasma donor my whole life, platelets. I'm on the bone marrow registry. Like, if more people could just sign up for something like that, I think that'd be a tremendous takeaway to start with.
Rachel Schultz and Nicole Gaberick, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing this great story. I wish you the best of health and everything good in 2020, okay?
Thank you very much. You do the same, and enjoy your holidays.
Okay.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
To you, too.
Bye.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking to Susan Rowland, who is a psychic medium, who's going to be talking about predictions for 2020 and taking your calls and giving you some advice for the future. This is Karen Conti Show on WGN. Welcome back. As the new year ends, we look to 2020 and wonder what is in store for us. We had such an interesting year. So here to discuss this is the very best person for the job looking into the future is Susan Rowland. She is an intuitive psychic medium. She uses her unique gifts of seeing, hearing, and feeling the past, present, and future to help people in their professional life and in their personal life here in the Chicago area and worldwide. Besides helping with these issues, she also helps law enforcement on occasion and investigating missing persons and helping with these types of criminal issues. And I would count Susan as my friend and a regular guest on WGN. Welcome, Susan.
Hello. So nice to be here. How are you?
It's always wonderful to talk to you. And you know what?
Likewise.
I'm going to give the phone number out for people who might want to call and ask Susan some questions about your personal life. We'll take them very quickly. If you have your birth date ready and you have a question, whether it's in your business or your career or your personal life, Susan will be taking calls probably in the next 10 minutes or so. And the number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Okay, Susan, let's talk a little bit about 2020. And let's go through, you know, maybe politics. What do you see going on in the political arena? Is it going to be more of the same?
Oh, God, yes. And it's going to be very divided. You know, last year when I did my predictions, that was the big topic as well. And everybody thought that President Trump would be impeached by now. And I said that both parties will continue to stay divided. It's not going to get better between both. I don't see President Trump going away. I truly don't.
Interesting. And
I don't.
And so, and what about his personally? Do you have any thoughts about him? him personally. And I'm not saying, you know, thoughts about his presidency, whether he's good or bad or whatever, but his health or anything going on with him.
I never saw his health really that great, even though, you know, they say the doctors have checked him. He's got a clean bill of health. I don't think he's the most healthiest person, honestly, and I really don't wish that for anybody. So, but, you know, given everything that's been happening, it can't help but not take a toll on anybody that would be going through this. So is he a really healthy human being? My answer would be no.
So let's talk internationally, and we have had a lot of shootings. I was going back, Susan, to look at some of the big news stories of the year, month by month, and I'm almost immune to the number of shootings in bars and in schools and in workplaces, and we've had a share in Illinois even this year.
I actually think the shootings will definitely continue, and you want to know why? Because it's making a statement. As sick as these people are that are committing these shootings, and they are very mentally unstable, and I get that, but they're also on a direction of making a statement. This is why they're going to these public places and doing what they're doing. And a lot of them that, you know, eventually turn the gun on themselves, they're not doing anything quietly. They're trying to make a statement for whatever reason somebody's going in. So will the shootings continue? Unfortunately, it's a big yes. I tell people, constantly be aware of your surroundings. You know, when I say this all the time. When I go somewhere, the first thing I want to see is where's the exits. I do. I zoom in on all the exits, and I always sit where there is an exit. I want to be in close range to that. You know, a lot of people, most people are not aware of their surroundings. And, you know, Karen, you have to be in this day and age. Everybody is so in tune to their phones that they need to look up, pay attention to what's going on, and you might learn something. You know, you got to be physically in tune to seeing all that's around you. So that's a big thing. But is it going to continue? It's going to continue all over the world.
And
there
actually,
is going to be chaos, yes.
You, last year, as I recall, you predicted malls as being places that you really have to be careful about.
Yeah.
And we've had several of those this year. So you were right on from last year, as I recall.
Yeah, malls, also temples and churches.
Yes.
And you say, why, you know, are we going to have to stop going to church? Of course not. You know, I wouldn't say that to anybody. But because there's so much difference, political and religious views, I mean, it all ties in. And, you know, I still can't make heads or tails of why people do what they do, unfortunately. But truly, be careful. Also, I really do worry about sports arenas as well. That's another big thing that I see. You know, convention conferences, you know, that's going to be a big thing, too. And we need to brush up on our security. I'm sorry, but when you go to the movies, I said this a few years back. You see what you go through when you go to the airport and you have to go through the sensor machine? I don't care if you're TSA approved or not. You still have to walk through this. I think anywhere where there is a public entrance, it should be there. Seriously.
Let's talk about finances. Our economy is good right now. Do you have any predictions about the markets or about how our economy is going to fare in 2020?
Well, let's put it to you this way now, okay? Now, say if Trump is gone. So if President Trump is not reelected or whatever happens, okay, the stock market will definitely take a dip downward. It will. If he stays to be president, I think the economy will stay strong. I do. And one of the things that I always say, if you're looking to see what you want to do in technology stocks, those are the ones to get because those are the ones that are going to go sky high. Also, anything with 5G related stocks will also do very, very well. Gold will continue to do well. So you've got your technology stocks, you've got your gold, great investments, safe investments, and they will continue to keep growing. They will.
Is there anything else that you see for 2020 that stands out of note?
You know, I mentioned this earlier somewhere else where I was, appearing. And I do believe, you know, they say within 10 years, you know, the way we're going with our paper money, it's going to start fading out. I see it happening in 5 years. I do not see paper money being exchanged. I don't. So that cryptocurrency, it's going to really make a big thing. More and more places, Karen, are not going to be taking currency. they're not going to take cash. That is really, and seriously, I really see in 5 years, if you have cash, I don't know what you're going to do with it. Just put it in the bank and, you know, do your ATMs and your debit cards, because that's where it's going to have to stay, because it's going to be useless. It really is. So, and that's a little crazy, but yeah, I do see that going.
And just one final thing, and this is a little personal to me, and we're not going to talk specifics, but there have been some changes here at the station, and we've been bought out several months ago. Do you see any trends or anything going on with radio or with WGN and how things are going to go?
I do think there's going to be a big difference. You're going to have a lot of changes coming your way. You know, WGN is a very traditional station, has been for years, and I think a lot of things outside the box are going to be happening. I think these new owners are going to start trying different things that I don't think you've ever seen before. And I actually think that this might be a good thing. I do. You know, it's one thing to be conservative, but you have to change with the times. And I think that your new investors are definitely seeing that. So this is going to be, I think, you know, it's not going to be perfect, but I think the good things that are coming is the change that's needed that has not been taking place. So welcome it a little bit.
Yes, and we are. We are all welcoming it.
Are you? Okay, good. No, really, because I don't mean anything derogatory about it, but it's because we need some new blood that think a little different. You know, a lot of things that I don't like that's going on, you know, of our, you know, era. But I have to just go with the times, whether I like it or not.
Well, right.
You know, yeah, but I do think that they're going to think outside the box enough where they're going to bring some things that you're saying yes to, that you've always wanted, but it didn't happen in the past. So I actually think that there are going to be more topics, more females. I do. I think that you're going to be able to visit things that maybe they didn't want to discuss before. So it's going to be, I think, a win-win. They're going to try some different things, too, and they're going to see what works, and they're going to start saying, hey, let's do more of this. So, yeah, I do.
And we only have a few minutes left, but I want to remind our listeners that in the next 15 minutes, we're going to be taking your questions for Susan. 312-981-7200. You'll give her your birth date, and she'll ask you some questions. But kind of keep in mind the area that you'd like her to cover. And I just have a few seconds before my break, Susan. But do we all have the capacity to see and feel things that are not concrete? Or obviously you have a gift that most people don't have. But do we all have the ability, and can we tap into it and kind of hone it in some way?
Yes, that's a great question, and the answer is definitely, most definitely, yes. Everybody has the ability to feel what they feel. Now, here's the difference. We have the people that tune into it and listen to it, and their gift becomes more sharp. And then you have the people that ignore it. And I even say sometimes we don't get some good messages. Don't ignore them, even though they're maybe not the messages you care to hear or feel within yourself.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, let's carry that over, because I need to go to a break. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're going to take some questions. And we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to come back. We're talking to Susan Rowland, who is an intuitive psychic medium. She's here in the Chicago area. Susan, can you give out your contact information? I know you consult a lot of people, some very important people in the Chicago area, and you'd give them advice in all areas, and you could make an appointment to see Susan. How would they get into contact with you, Susan?
They would just go to my website, SusanRowland.com, SusanRowland.com.
Let's go to the lines. Are you ready to take some questions from callers?
I sure am.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go to Angie. Can you put Angie on the line? Hi, Angie. Welcome to the Karen Conti Show.
Hi there. It's so good to talk to you.
Yes, and now you're talking to Susan, too. So, Susan, why don't you ask Angie what information you need from her?
Hi, Angie. How are you?
Hi. Great.
Good. What's going on with you, Angie?
Pardon me?
What's your question?
Just how the year looks in general for 2020. Is that too general, the question?
That's fine. When's your birthday?
October 7th.
Okay. You know, this is actually, you're such a nice person, and you're starting to say no.
I am. You're right.
I know. It's a big thing for you because you've always said yes. You're so sweet. But you know what? You're getting your rhythm and your balance. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'm hoping that's the case.
Honestly, you know, a lot of things are going to start taking shape. And the one thing I want to say to you is there is going to be a lot of people that aren't going to like the new Angie because they're used to Angie doing whatever everybody wanted. Now, keep this in mind. Set your precedence. If it's something, it's a no, and you don't feel comfortable in doing, it's okay. Keep going with it because this Angie that is starting to really come together is who you were meant to be all along. It was taking all of your life to get there. So I'm so proud of you.
Angie,
so seriously.
That's great news.
Excellent. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
If anyone
very
has
welcome.
Any questions for Susan, we're here at 312-981-7200. Let's go to Kim. Hi, Kim.
Okay.
Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Kim. Hi. Welcome to the show. You're here with Susan Rowland. Susan?
Hi, Kim.
Hi, Susan. I'm August 6th.
Uh-huh. And what's your question?
I'm planning on investing in some rental property, and I was wondering what you saw about that.
Believe it or not, if you're doing it here, it's one thing, but for some reason, you might start here, but I see it somewhere else in another state.
Okay, well, this is not, like, real close to me, but it's still within the state, but yeah.
Okay, so listen, this is what I see, okay? You may start in the state, but you're going to go towards outside the state, because once you start getting really good at this and you're going to get a feel for it, you're not going to be so afraid to invest in other places in the United States that's really going to work for you. So I'm just telling you, I see you outside the state. And there's nothing wrong with that. That'll be good. So be minimal here because it's outside the state that you're going to make some good money.
All right.
And you will.
Kim.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the call. And let's go to Karen. Hi, Karen. Welcome to WGN. You're here with Susan Rowland.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Susan.
How are you?
Go ahead.
I was just wondering, I became a great-grandmother, and the baby was born premature a month ahead of time, and he's having some difficulties. I was wondering if you could tell me if he'll be okay.
Can I have the baby's boy? It's a boy, you said? Is it a boy?
Yes.
And what is his birthday?
Birthday, please, of the baby.
Pardon?
The birthday of the baby.
The 18th of December.
Okay. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay. This child will be okay. It's going to have a little bit of developmental delays, but trust me, this child will catch up. This child will have a very high tolerance of a long threshold of pain. Believe me when I tell you, this kid's going to be strong. This baby is going to be very strong. So this baby will be good.
Very good.
All right. That's good
news.
Thank
you very much. Fine, but this baby will catch up when I tell you, okay? So it will have some delays, but trust me, it will be fine.
All right,
okay?
Karen, and congratulations. Okay. Congratulations. Let's go to Mike.
Thank you.
Hi, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
You're welcome. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good, Susan. Thank you.
Okay. What's your question, Mike?
I'm just thinking in terms of career path, and my birthday is 8/14.
Okay. Two things. You're better when you're by yourself, honestly. So self-employment wouldn't be a bad thing for you.
Okay.
Number one, if you could do things on your own, you'd be better off. You're great with sales. You're great with people. You're great with management skills, but you got to do things your own way.
Okay.
I'm telling you, if you work for somebody, please let this person give you a long leash and not put you on a choke collar because you don't do well with that. Uh-huh. You don't.
I agree.
I can see it.
Okay.
You need some freedom to think, okay?
Mike, what are you thinking about?
Like
can you tell us a little bit about, just you have like 20 seconds here, but what career are you looking at?
Publishing.
Ah.
And it's a very, independent sort of path that I'm considering. So I think Susan hit it right on.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, good. You know what? Honestly, Mike, you would be really good, and you're also great with connections. This is where you're good with people. Remember what I said. And it's like a salesmanship with you. You're really good with that, but you have to do it on your own. Okay? All
great
the
advice.
Best to you,
Thank
Mike.
You very much.
I really see really good things for you. You have that personality, so all the best.
Okay.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Mike. Happy New Year and happy holidays. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take the, we're going to continue to take calls. Susan, are you still good for a little bit after 8 o'clock?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's let me give out the numbers here again. 981-7200, 312-981-7200. And Susan, please give out your information if people want to contact you again.
Sure, they can go to my website. It's SusanRowland.com, SusanRowland.com.
We'll be taking your calls. Susan Rowland is going to be talking to you about your future. This is the Karen Conti Show on WGN. Welcome back. Just a few minutes here before we take a break. I just want to let everyone know what we're doing. Susan Rowland is the psychic medium, and we're going to continue with her because it's we've got the calls are lighting up, and I have people on the line, Debbie and Irene and Jane and Gail. If you just hold a little bit, we're going to try to get to all of you, and you're going to tell us when your birthday is. You're going to tell us what kind of area would you like Susan to weigh in on as far as the future, what the future holds, and she kind of helps guide you into some of the areas of your life. She's a very good at that. And we're also going to be talking, then we're going to be taking legal calls at about the 8:15 time area. And that's legal calls of any type, as we usually do in the last hour of the show. I'm going to give you the numbers here. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, or text to that same number. And one of the other things that I think I'm going to talk about is there's some new laws that are going to take effect in 2020. Some of them are interesting and may affect your lives. So I'm going to go over those a little bit. And then we're also going to talk about some of the New Year's resolutions from a legal standpoint. I know everyone's making their New Year's resolutions. I, for one, have given up Diet Coke as a New Year's resolution. I've started early because I didn't want to wait till New Year's, and I've given up diet soda, and I'm doing pretty well. I'm on day 10. Thank you very much. So we'll be talking about those New Year's resolutions on the Karen Conti Show on WGN. Welcome back. We're here with Susan Rowland, who is a psychic medium, and we're talking about predictions for 2020, and we're taking calls from listeners. They're going to give your birth date, and you're going to tell me what guidance you would like in what area of your life. Susan, are you ready to take some calls?
I sure am.
Okay, let's do it. Eileen, welcome to the show. This is Susan Rowland and Karen Conti. How are you?
Good. Hi, Karen. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good, thank you.
Oh, good. So, my question, well, my birth date is February 23rd.
Okay.
And my question deals with work. It can be very stressful. Is it ever going to calm down? Or will I develop a way of handling it better?
Here's the reason. Let me tell you. You know, you are a very good worker. You are very intelligent, and they know it. And this is why it, and I hate to say it, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but everything always seems to spiral back to you.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, because you are the root of what you do. Now, I'm not kidding, all right? And I really do think you enjoy working, but the problem is everybody knows now how good you are, so you're the go-to. You're the fixer. You're the cleaner. You are everything.
So,
am I wrong?
Susan, do you think she should leave her job? And then we're going to move to the next one.
You know what I would do? Yeah, I think you're going to have to, because the situation at that location is not going to change. So if you have a new job, you could set some new boundaries that people really don't have to know everything. They know that you have great skills, but they don't have to take advantage of those skills.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Does that
Thank
help?
You.
You
sound,
okay.
She
sounds, best to you.
Sounds very stressed out. Okay, let's go to Debbie. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the show. When's your birthday and what's your question?
Hi, my birthday is 12/27, which is just in a few days.
Yay, happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
thank you. It's come up so many times in my life. I can't, everywhere I turn, I'm saying 12/27 my whole life. And I've always wondered if I'm going to die on that day. has come up so much through my whole life. But here's
my
question.
Oh, my gosh. No, I don't.
Here's a question. I have someone that recently that I truly love, but I broke up with him. I'm concerned about his drinking. He has fallen into such a dark pit and despair over losing his mother, a previous girlfriend of breast cancer. He is a guitar prodigy.
Okay.
And
Hold on. We got to get to the question. Okay. Susan, go ahead.
All right.
How's the boyfriend going to do with this alcohol problem?
He's not. He's not, because he's chosen not to. I hate to say this. It's a matter of choice, and he just doesn't want to. He's using, I mean, I get that he's had a bad turn, but he's deciding this from early on that he doesn't want to get better. He doesn't.
Okay?
So I'm sorry. I really am, but I don't see it. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel with him. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do the work.
Okay, Jane, we have just a few minutes here. Hi, Jane. Welcome to the show. When's your birthday, and what's your question for Susan?
I just had a birthday. Mine is 12/19.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
And then, but I have a, thank you.
It's got to be fast, ladies.
I have a question about my husband. His birthday is 2/10. He's been having some physical health issues. So I was wondering if surgery was in his near future. And are we going to be okay as a family financially, since he'll probably be laid up for a couple months after the surgery?
I actually think you're going to be fine financially. I do. I know it seems it's crazy, but no. Okay. Here's the thing, though. Physically, he's going to have some downtime to the point where he's got to take his time. And he also has to worry also about his mental state so he doesn't fall into a depression. Because I have to be honest with you, he does better when he's working, and when he's not working and he has all this time to think is not the healthiest. So challenge him a little bit and encourage him that this too shall pass and it will get better. But I am telling you that. The first chance he gets to go back to work, please encourage him to work.
All right, Jane, thank you so much. I hope that helps out. Susan, you've been a delight, and thank you so much for helping all of our listeners. Susan,
oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me, and I wish you, your husband, a very, very blessed new year. I mean that sincerely, and to all the listeners out there, a very happy 2020.
All right, Susan, thank you so much. Take care of yourself.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we'll take your legal questions. It's the Karen Conti Show on WGN. Time to call me with your legal questions. Any legal question you have, something you've seen in the news, something that's personal to you, personal to a friend of yours, I'll try my best to steer you in the right direction. The number here is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, or text to that number. And let me give out my office number and my office email address in case you don't want to talk about your legal problem on the air. I'm always willing to try to steer you in the right direction. Sometimes I send you a link to a resource, or I refer you to an agency. A lot of people have been asking about credit issues, and I have a list of free credit counseling agencies that I'm happy to share with you. And sometimes it's just people ask if they need a referral to a certain lawyer for a certain type of case. I can definitely steer you in the right direction, sometimes closer to home than Chicago if you live in the suburbs. Sometimes I have a contact person near you and can at least vouch for the fact that these are good lawyers and do a very good job. And the contact information is 312-332-7800, or you can always email me, which is best, because then you can give me a little bit of what you need, where you are, when the event happened, what you're looking for. And that email address is wgn@askkarenconti.com. While you guys are calling and getting on the line, you'll be talking to my producer, Yasmin, 312-981-7200. I'm going to just read a couple of emails that I got over the last couple of weeks. Ken emailed me this week and wanted to know what is the Supreme Court's role in the impeachment, and who makes rules, and what are the rules? And I'm not going to get into really details of this, but just suffice to say that now that we're in the Senate, the Senate is going to be sort of like the jury that hears the case. The prosecutors are going to be the people from the House of Representatives who have brought the articles of impeachment, and they are going to present their case. There could be witnesses. There doesn't have to be witnesses. In the Bill Clinton impeachment, there were no witnesses. They just used the witnesses and the testimony that were elicited, basically, in the House proceedings. So we could have a full trial that we watch, and we could have really not much of anything except maybe opening statements and closing arguments. It will proceed like a trial, but it is going to be very different than a trial in some aspects, and that is, first of all, the Supreme Court Justice, the Chief Justice John Roberts, will be presiding over the case, so he will be sort of like the judge in the case, but he is going to rule really on some narrow issues, and that's going to be what evidence goes in, what's relevant, is there duplicative evidence, and he's going to be basically making sure that there is a fair hearing, or at least trying to make sure that there is a fair hearing to the extent that politics allows, because as we all have seen firsthand in the last few weeks, impeachment is a very political process. Interestingly, there are no rules of evidence, so it'll be probably very interesting to watch how he rules on objections if we were to have witnesses, because there is no hearsay objections. There are no objections really that are in place. And furthermore, there is no burden of proof, meaning in a criminal case, the burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt. You've heard that over and over again, and that's a very high burden. But in an impeachment case, there is no stated burden of proof. So it will be up to the senators to vote as far as what they think the evidence shows and how they weigh it and what their verdict is going to be. Again, we always expect that this is going to go on political lines, as it did in the House. If you really want to look at what the rules are, you really don't know what the rules are. And that's another thing. There are rules that have been in place from the 1860s. The rules have been modified for the Bill Clinton impeachment hearing. But if the Senate wants to change the rules and have rules change midstream, they can merely take a vote and the senators can vote to change the procedure. And then, voila, the procedure is then changed. So it's, you think there are rules, and why? I kind of throw up my hands when people ask me these questions, because everything's sort of up in the air. This happens so infrequently. Like I said, the process is one that is outlined in the Constitution, but just very briefly on how it proceeds, and it will be up to the Senate really how this whole thing goes and what how this whole thing is dictated. So that's my best answer to you. Let me give you my numbers again: 312-981-7200 if anyone has any legal questions whatsoever. I had an email, interesting email, a couple weeks ago from a concerned gentleman named Tim, not his real name. And he told me that his sister was prescribed opioids for a leg problem that she had, and that it was his assessment that she was overprescribed, she doesn't need them anymore, and that she might be addicted to opioids. And he's very concerned that she's overusing and that she might be actually drinking while taking them, which is not good. And he wants to confront the doctor. He asked me, what are my rights as a brother in confronting this doctor about my sister's medical condition? And if she has, she unfortunately would ever have a problem like she overdosed, would there be a lawsuit against the doctor? He says, not that I want to bring the lawsuit. It's just that I want to be able to threaten the doctor that this could conceivably happen, given the fact that he believes she's seriously addicted. Well, the first question is, what are your rights when it comes to your sister's medical condition? And really, you don't have any rights. Family members, unless there's a power of attorney and you have the right to discuss medical decisions, you don't have any right to talk to the doctor about this. And in fact, the doctor will invoke HIPAA, which is the privacy law, and will say that I really can't talk to you about your sister's condition. And I have no information for you and probably will refuse to speak with you. That said, the next question is there a possible lawsuit for a doctor who overprescribes medicine? And the answer is yes. And interestingly, I have seen a lot of this going on in the legal community recently where this exact situation has happened. And what happens is that family members and friends get together and they talk to the doctor. They try to talk to the doctor. They send emails. They send information. information saying she really doesn't need this. We think she's addicted. The doctors sometimes don't really honor that and ignore it and continue to prescribe. And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of overdoses and a lot of bad things happen to people who are addicted to opioids. And the lawsuits have been brought. And the first order of business is, you heard this from the family. You heard she was having trouble. She's been on this medicine. You could have weaned her off. You could have put her on something less powerful. You had the information and you did nothing with it. And that's negligence. And those lawsuits have been successful. You know, they not all lawsuits are successful. These are hard to prove. But if you have the facts, then they are viable cases. So, you know, I guess I would put it all in writing and have as many family members as possible attest to the idea that that she's having these issues and that you are, you know, very concerned and that you want the situation to be remedied as best you can. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Denise. Hi, Denise. Welcome to WGN. Denise? Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, hi.
I have an issue. I live in an apartment complex, and the landlord died like 4 years ago, so we never received a new lease. My last lease was for 2015. His daughter's now in charge and says she's going to run the apartment complex like a business. I haven't had an increase since that time. And my issue isn't this. My increase in rent went up $200. But the issue is, she says that the Indiana law states that I need to let her know 3 months before my expiration date of my lease whether I'm going to stay or not. I've never done this before. I don't know if this is the law or not, but I'm very disturbed by it.
Okay. So, Denise, it's the season is merry and bright, but I'm just merry tonight. I don't feel very bright. I don't know the answer to that. And the reason I don't know the answer is I'm not familiar with Indiana law. I'm an Illinois attorney. You have if you have a lease, usually you have a lease, right? It's a written lease for this year. Okay. So normally.
No, it's not for she gave me a lease. My old lease is from last lease was 1915.
Okay, so you don't have one.
No.
You don't have a valid lease.
No.
Okay. Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay. So basically, if the law is similar to Illinois, the law is that you are on what we call a month-to-month lease. When you've run out of your lease and you don't have a valid lease in place, because you don't have one signed for this year, that means that every month they could give you notice that you have to vacate, and they'd have to give you a 30-day notice or so many days, and that you would have to vacate. So if you have a contract, a lease, then obviously it protects you for the full entire year. I don't know of any law that says that you have to give 3 months notice of your intent to move out. I don't know that in any state. I've never heard of that. But you know what I'd like you to do, Denise? If you can email me, I will get you the answer to that, because I have some friends who practice law over the border in Maryville and Sherrillville, and they can tell me the answer to that question. Okay, so I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to give out my email address and my phone number in case you don't have email or you would rather call me. Okay. And happy holidays to you, Denise, and good luck with your situation. Okay. So, normally speaking, this is kind of a precarious thing, because sometimes people are living for a long time in a place and they feel like they're protected because they've been there for years and years. But like in this situation, you have someone who comes in and there's a new captain on the ship, and the captain says, now we're going to run this like a business and maybe I want everyone out. And in that case, you don't have any protection because you have no valid lease, and you're at the whim of what the landlord wants to do. Normally, there is a certain number of days that you have to get entitled to in order to vacate, and I don't know exactly what that is under Indiana law, but I'm going to find out for Denise, and I'm going to give that information out. It's 312-332-7800, or better yet, send me a detailed email at wgn@askkarenconti.com, and I'll give that out one more time, wgn@askkarenconti.com. When we come back, we're going to continue to take your legal questions here at WGN 312-981-7200. This is the Karen Conti Show. Happy holidays to everybody. It's the Karen Conti Show. I'm taking your legal questions. I'm a practicing lawyer. I'll see if I can steer you in the right direction. If you have any questions about divorce or personal injury, wills and estates, anything you want to ask, I'll try to steer you in the right direction. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. I had a caller who wanted to know. His name was Lucas, and he said that he had composed some country western songs. And he was going to enter them in some competitions, and he wanted to protect his right to have these be his. And he said that he heard that if he, you know, mailed the music back to him on in a self-addressed stamped envelope, that that would protect him. That's really kind of an old urban legend. That is really not something that really makes a lot of sense. Basically, if you compose something and if you're it's your work, it's already in effect copyrighted because it's your work and you've created it. And it's protected in a way that if someone took it from you and stole it from you, you could try to enforce that. However, the best thing to do is to get a copyright. And you don't really need to have a fancy lawyer to do that. If this is something that you're well into your career and it's very important to you to do it in an absolute positive way, certainly you want to hire a lawyer. The copyright lawyers are very, very expensive. They're very skilled at what they do. But you can go on to the U.S. Patent and Copyright website, and it's I think it's like $35 you pay. You can do this online. You could actually go there, but online filing is probably cheaper. And you're going to just register your song and your music with them, and you then have the ability to protect yourself if there might be an issue of someone stealing your work. And the other thing that you should make sure you do is if you're going to be sending work out, whether this is a movie script or if it's a book that you've written or anything that you fear is going to be used and maybe stolen from you, make sure you keep very good records of who you send it to. So if you're sending it to a competition, you're going to keep the email, "Dear sir, I'm giving you my song, Little Five Little Ponies," or whatever, and you keep that, because if someone then starts using your work, and we've seen this, there was a lawsuit with Lady Gaga, and it turns out someone who had written a song had sent it to someone associated with Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga was singing a song that sounded remarkably like his song, and they were able to connect that the person very likely did get that music and did appropriate some of the words and the lyrics and the music and the beat and the rhythm and all that stuff. And I don't know exactly how the lawsuit came out, but at least you can show that the whoever you sent it to had the opportunity to take your product and to use it. And so it's that's probably my best advice when it comes to that. And again, copyrights, to enforce a copyright is very expensive. You know, if someone starts singing your song and you say, "That's my song," it's hard to pay a lawyer hourly to do that kind of work. And so it might be something that you've got to just brace yourself for and be very careful who you give your music to, because there's always someone out there who's going to steal your work no matter what it is. Give us a call here, 981-7200. I had a very nice woman who called me this past week named Roseanne. And she, her concern was that she was married for a long time and she was a stay-at-home mother and her husband was the breadwinner, and she fears that he's out spending money on things maybe not in the family's best interest, whether it's gambling or other things. And she has no idea about the family finances and said, "What can I do legally?" Well, Roseanne, you're right to be concerned about it, because the number one reason for divorce, they say, is family finances. And I find that in it's sometimes the women and sometimes the men who don't know the state of the family finances. They don't know they're in debt. They don't know they have assets that they have. They don't know what their mortgage is. They don't know what the balance of the mortgage is. They don't know what their house is worth. They don't know if their credit cards bills are $20,000 or $2,000. So these are all very important things. You can't put your head in the sand on these things. You need to know, because you need, because you may be responsible for half of the debt. And this is your life too. And certainly, it's important in a marriage to share that information. I understand that some people in relationships don't always want to provide that information. I don't understand it. It's something that I think young couples should discuss before they get married, because it's a partnership that needs to be successful. But from a legal standpoint, there's nothing you can do to force your husband to show you the bills and to show you the bank accounts, unless you're on the bank accounts, in which case you can go down to the bank and get the statements yourself. But if you're not on the bank accounts, you have no right to see them, and there's no way to legally enforce or force your spouse to produce that stuff. So the only way to do it would be to file for divorce, and then you would have the right to subpoena the records and ask for the records in the course of litigation. Obviously, I'm not telling people they should get divorced in order to find out their finances, but I think that Roseanne needs to sit down and really make sure that she uses all of her efforts to find out what her family finances are, because if she's married for 40 years, I assume she's getting up there in her years, and you don't want to be left with nothing. And, you know, do you have retirement? Do you have what's the state of the bank accounts? What's the state of there's your IRS debt? That's another one that people keep from their spouses. And the IRS debt can be really overwhelming when it comes to interest and penalties. There's one more that I wanted to talk about. Dawn had an interesting question. She called me a couple weeks ago, and she was having a big party at her house in Wisconsin. And although I told her I didn't know the law in Wisconsin per se, I can tell her what the law is in Illinois. She was having a big party, and she was concerned about people driving home. And her home was in a sort of a resort area where it was sort of ruralish, and she was concerned that people were traveling sometimes 20 minutes or half an hour to and from her house to go to this party. And obviously there was going to be alcohol served, and she was very concerned about her liability for people who were drinking and perhaps driving home. And she wanted to know what she could do and what should she do in this situation. Interestingly, Illinois law doesn't say that a party giver has necessarily liability for an adult who overdrinks and goes out and harms himself or somebody else. Now, morally speaking, you obviously should be making sure that people are getting home and taking car keys away and calling Ubers for people who are clearly overserved. But there's no civil liability or criminal liability for doing that when it comes to adults. That's different, obviously, if you're a bar. If you are a bar and you overserve someone, we've all heard of the dram shop laws. And those dram shop laws are such that if a bar overserves, they are civilly responsible for damages that person causes to themselves or to other people up to a certain level, a certain dollar amount. And that's what the law provides. The other rule is that when it comes to children, if you are having a party and there are children present, it is very, very important to make sure that the children are not drinking. There was a case that came down several years ago in Illinois where parents had thrown a children's party and there was no drinking allowed. They were basically searching people to make sure they didn't have alcohol. Someone snuck in some alcohol, and it was a very unfortunate situation. I think the kids went out, and a couple of them were killed in a terrible car crash. And the parents were charged criminally and civilly. And the idea was that once you've taken it upon yourself to have a party and to control the alcohol or lack of alcohol at a party, you have to do it without negligence. You have to do it in a way that that works. And because they failed in that obligation, they took on that responsibility to stop the alcohol, and they did not do it appropriately, according to the powers that be, they were charged, and they actually, I believe, served some jail time in addition to being civilly responsible for some of this. And again, you know, insurance might cover some of this kind of liability, but it's not a situation you want to put yourself in, especially in the case of this family who took it upon themselves to really put their foot down and say no alcohol. And I think even had kids sign releases, if I'm not mistaken, to say that they weren't going to be bringing alcohol into the party. So again, there is always the moral aspect of what you should do, and then there's the legal aspect of what you should do. let's talk a little bit about, and just want to talk just briefly about holiday decorations in the workplace. Are you entitled to have all of the menorah and all of the other religious things, or is it something? Is there something wrong with having a Christmas tree and Santa Claus in the manger? The bottom line is that if an employer creates a hostile work environment so that somehow it's offensive to people in the workplace who are not Christian or are not Jewish, and there's only one religion that is represented, that could be a hostile work environment. That could be a lawsuit for discrimination. Generally speaking, Christmas trees are fair game. They are deemed to be non-denominational, according to the U.S. Supreme Court. But generally speaking, I would say if you like your job, you know, it may not be something that's completely legal, but you might want to keep it to yourself because you don't want to lose your job during the holiday season. Give us a call here, 312-981-7200. You're listening to WGN. Welcome back. It's Karen Conti. Let me give out my office number in case anyone wants to ask me legal questions outside the context of WGN. My phone number is 312-332-7800, and my email is wgn@askkarenconti.com. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the new laws for 2020. Some of them are minor changes in the law. Some of them are mildly entertaining and interesting, and some of them might affect you. Let's talk about, this is the one I call the incredible bulk. This is BYO containers. Shoppers can now bring their own containers to stock up on bulk food. The provision is that the store must provide a safe and sanitary place for you to do that, and your container must be clean and sanitary too. I assume that not all stores are going to offer this, but before this time, that was an illegal thing. So now, if you're going to get cereal or nuts or something like that, as long as they provide a sanitary way to do that, that is something that the law is going to allow you to do. Probably all in purposes of good green legislation. This law is called the Jury's Out, and this is very fascinating. It prohibits the exclusion of jurors based upon sexual orientation or gender identity. So this means the law is already in place that when there's jury selection, neither the judge nor the lawyers who conduct the jury selection process, which we call voir dire, can use racial characteristics to discriminate. So I can't say I want all African Americans on my jury and I'm going to exclude all white people and vice versa. Or I don't want Hispanics on the jury, so I'm going to get them because the defendant is Hispanic and I think I'll get a better shot at getting a conviction if the jurors are not Hispanic. That is clearly unconstitutional and that's clearly illegal. But this law takes it one step further and says that people based upon their sexual orientation or gender identity cannot be discriminated against. Very, very interesting. And I'm not sure if that's going to change things a whole heck of a lot, but I think it makes a statement. Great Scott is the next law. And this is Scott's Law. Do you know what Scott's Law is? It's the law that requires motorists to slow down and change lanes when there is an emergency vehicle or a disabled vehicle on the road. And that law has already been in place for a while. I see people all the time who do not honor that, by the way, nor do I see them slow down when they're, or even stop when there is a fire truck, which I'm amazed that people don't do that. But anyway, the penalties are rising for that. They're going to increase the penalties. The penalties are going to be $250 for the first violation and $750 for subsequent violations. You always wonder if they increase the penalties for different laws and violations of the laws, is that going to protect people? Is that going to stop people from doing these things, or is this just kind of a feel-good law? I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see what the statistics are and see if people will now pay attention a little bit more to those very important laws. The next law that's going to take effect in 2020 is, I call it, no pay to stay. Did you know that there is a law currently in place that says that the Department of Corrections, which is the state organization that runs the prisons, can sue the prisoner to recoup the cost of incarceration? so that if there is a prisoner who has money or has a trust fund or has some access to income or money, the Department of Corrections is allowed to sue them and recoup the cost of incarceration, which I don't know what the current rate is, if it's $40,000 or $50,000 a year all in. Now, this new law says no pay to stay, that the Illinois Department of Corrections can no longer sue a prisoner to recoup the cost of incarceration. I'm not sure what prompted the taking back of that law, because, first of all, it wasn't used very often. I saw it used very, very infrequently. They tried to do that with John Gacy. I don't know. That was probably back in the 1990s. He was doing artwork and making money in prison, and people were very offended by that. And the Department of Corrections sued him for, under that law, for the cost of incarceration. The matter was settled, and he was executed, so that never really proceeded to anything. But I never really saw that law be applied in any event. Not sure why it was revoked. The next law that I see is called No Fire for Fido. Kennels now must have fire alarms or sprinklers. That's a good law, I guess. We don't want our dogs to be hot dogs. Gender Ender. Bathrooms now, if there is a single occupancy bathroom in a restaurant or a Starbucks, let's say, it must be gender neutral. So this doesn't mean all bathrooms. This means only single stall bathrooms must be gender neutral, and the door must say restroom, not men's or women's. So interesting. Dollars for diapers is the next law. There's a new savings, and this might be of interest to you. When a child is born, every baby is going to receive $50 in an investment account, sort of like an education account. You might call them a 529, 529 program. And it's not a lot of money, but every baby is going to have it, and this will go toward paying for college or trade school when the child is of age. And I assume that the reason that they're passing this is to try to encourage people to save money as quickly as they can, and to move that process along. And then let's talk about some New Year's resolutions. And I think Yasmin is going to play me some little New Year's resolution music. I think that there are some things that we need to do in the future that everyone should note for their records. And let's start with an estate plan. I know that you've heard me say this a million times on the show. Everyone needs an estate plan. It's not for the rich. It's not just for the old. Don't put it off. Don't get upset that it costs a little money. Don't say, I don't want to deal with my mortality. If you have people you love, you need an estate plan. If you need me to refer you to somebody, I can refer you to someone. Call me at my office or email me, and I'm happy to send you in the right direction. Please do this. Family law. Are you paying too much in child support? Are you receiving too little in child support? Are you not getting any child support because someone's not paying? Look at your divorce decree. Is your parenting schedule still working? Are your kids too old for it? Maybe it should change. Should you be dealing with that? Should you be talking to your ex and maybe coming up with a plan for how you're going to pay for college? Because that's coming up soon, and you need to deal with those issues. And that's something you should do as a New Year's resolution. Also, if you're thinking about divorce, you should get to know what that's about. A lot of people are separated, and they're sometimes separated for 5-10 years. Well, that's a bad issue. You can't do that, because God forbid, if something were to happen to your spouse, like they got sick or disabled, you might have to support that spouse down the line. And if you're not have anything to do, if you don't have anything to do with that spouse, that may not be something that you're willing to do. Sickness and in health and all that. But if you're not dealing with that person and you're not living with that person, that's something you have to be careful of. Criminal realm, expunge your record. There are all kinds of new laws now about expunging your convictions and your plea bargains for marijuana use. So, and those are free. You can go to the state and have them do that. In Chicago, there's a procedure. You should check out, have someone check out what your criminal record is and make sure that you expunge whatever you can expunge, because if you're looking for a job, maybe you're not looking for one now, but you might be looking for one soon, and employers will see that on your record and may have a hard time getting you a job. Get on top of your debt. The average person owes $5,000 approximately. And so you need to know what your debt is, and you need to maybe consolidate, do what you need to do. I've got a list of free agencies to help you with that counseling, and I'm happy to send that to you if you email me. Look at your insurance records. Know what your insurance is, what's insured and what's not. And keep all your insurance policies together, because if something happens and it's an emergency, you're definitely going to want to have those policies in a good place, and you're going to want to know who to send the claim to and how to deal with those things. Car, auto, renter's insurance, all of those things. And always consider an umbrella policy to cover you for more than just the average cost. For about $300 a year, you can have some protection that is very good for you. So hopefully that's all good. That's all for my New Year's resolutions. You have happy holidays, and we're going to take a break. And we'll come back. I'm going to lead you into the Rick Cogan Show. This is Karen Conti on WGN. Thank you for listening tonight. I'm going to be followed by the great Rick Cogan. Rick, how are you?
And I'm going to be followed by the inimitable Bears postgame. And having watched the first half, I expect it to be fine. I'm fine.
You're fine. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Tell me what's on your show tonight.
I'm spending an hour with Father John Cusick of Old St. Pat's to talk about. He will explain to me the meaning of Christmas, the meaning of religion, the meaning of holidays, the meaning of gift-giving, the meaning of life.
Wow.
Maybe can explain the meaning of WGN Radio.
Because none of us know exactly what that
true.
Means. We really don't know.
A surprise every day, man. A surprise every day. But I'm glad to have the genius engineer, Adam Phillips, here.
And Adam, well, thank you, and happy holidays to everybody.